I apologize for the gum in the drink, but I've got a severe case of cotton mouth this morning, so that's either that. You ever suck through, remember that old lemon powder? You try to suck through a straw, and what happens? Yeah. Before we go into our message, I found this reading. I thought it'd be appropriate for today. So if you would follow along, I hope you can see it all up there. It's Mark, Brother Jim, and the people. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Surely this is the best of all news. It transformed those who first heard it and excites us when we think about the extraordinary wonder of Christ rising from the dead. Christ has been raised and we shall be raised with him. This affects how we see death and dying. We resent death as an alien intruder. It robs us of loved ones. It leaves grievous holes in our families. But death, like an ignited fuse, has been extinguished. Because of Christ's resurrection, Christians always have hope, always believe in a bright tomorrow, always rely on the promise of reunion with our families in Jesus Christ. When life is going well, we know that an earthly pleasure is but a pale foretaste of future delights. When life is painful, we know that it's only for a moment. Very soon, we shall not be in the river. The Lord is risen. We shall be raised with him. Praise to the risen Son. Amen. Amen. Up there on the board for you, or the screen, I should say, is today's scriptures. Kind of changed up a little bit. Again, good morning to each and every one of you who made the choice to come this morning. Good morning to the ones joining in on Facebook and YouTube out there in social media land. We are glad to have you, for you are part of the family as well. The title of this morning's message, Do You Believe? If you would, please turn to John 3:16 to 17. We're starting right off the bat. I know you know it well. But what better verse to start with for an Easter service than John 3:16 to 17? Now, this is coming from the New King James Version. I've got it up there for you, too. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is the part I love. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Might be saved. Easter is the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which, in all honesty, can be hard to tell in today's world at times if we really want to be true with ourselves. This morning, think about the way we as mankind move as a nation away from our Christian roots. the more obscure the real meaning of Easter has become. And you think about that. What is Easter? Compare growing up back in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, what Easter was compared to now. John Wesley once wrote, "What one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace." How many of you are familiar with the little cartoon, The Family Circus? Pretty good cartoon. In the cartoon called The Family Circus, two children had discovered their Easter baskets and were busy enjoying their contents. Now, one of the children asked, "Who colored all these eggs?" The other child responded, "The Easter Bunny." "Who gave us the jelly beans?" "Well, of course, the Easter Bunny." "And who gave us the chocolate rabbit?" "Well, who else?" "The Easter Bunny." Clearly, for these two little ones, nothing was impossible for the Easter Bunny to do. Now, later on, when the family went to church, they heard the preacher say, they came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away. "Who could have done this?" the preacher asked, to which the two children cried out in unison, "The Easter Bunny." Each morning, each spring, the excitement of Easter fills the air at this time of the year. Think of the number of churches that prepare special Easter programs about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, for some churches, it's a full-on Hollywood production, is it not? I mean, it's pretty good, some of the stuff they can do. We here at Roxford Church, we combine with other area churches for the season of Lent, finishing up with a Good Friday service down at the Foursquare there in Denison. And it was a good time. It was a good service throughout the season of Lent. It's a time for the church to advertise and put the word out, literally. You think about that. And I've noticed here, New Point puts out these yard signs now. I've seen it right up the road here on Crum, and I've seen it around. Join us at New Point for a church service. You know how you have the voting signs that go in the ground? They've turned them into church signs. Like, that's a good idea. Because it starts to embed that in your mind. Maybe we ought to go on Easter Sunday. Maybe we ought to go every time you go past that. But we love to advertise. Now, if you and I look at the worldly side of Easter, an alien from outer space would think our country is made up of chocolate, sugar, that silly green basket grass that gets everywhere in your house that is so hard to clean up. You ever try to sweep that stuff up? What happens? It gets all bound up in your rollers. And of course, bunny rabbits. Is that what Easter is anymore? Is that what Easter has become? The whole sugar fix. But let us flip the switch over to what I'm going to call the average American household this morning. How many parents and grandparents color eggs with their kids or grandkids, filling them from chocolate and goodies to slipping the old good stuff, the green bills, into the old plastic eggs? And of course, that special designated someone has to hide the eggs in the backyard. The little ones waiting there in the house or in the garage, drooling with anticipation for someone to yell, "Go!" Remember those days? And out the doors they go with their little baskets or their little bags. The Easter baskets for children and even some adults filled with all kinds of good stuff, almost like a mini Christmas at times, is it not? Again, this is just the average American, a little bit Christian family. Throw in the traditional sunrise or Easter service offered at the old local church, which attending one or both services depend on just how dad is feeling up, how good dad is feeling that day. Are we staying for one service? Are we staying for two services? What do you think, Dad? Or if little Jimmy or little Susie is willing to cooperate in the morning, getting ready on time for church, instead of Jimmy playing with a new kite that he got out. Of course, he gets the string wrapped around his neck and hurts himself, and you've got to cut it. Remember those days? Or little Susie trying to feed the new pet bunny she got for Easter some of her chocolate candy. sitting there as a family in the back room, the back pew. They keep weighted down every Christmas Eve service, as well as Easter, singing loud and proud, Dad praying a grand prayer for his own, of his own prayer in silence in the opening prayer, secretly pleading with God to keep the pastor's prayer short and the message even shorter. Out the door we go, letting everyone know, oh, we'll be back. We'll be back. We are so ready to get back into church. I'm telling you, we'll see you next Sunday. And before you know it, it's Easter, or it's Christmas Eve, before you see him again. And then quickly it's off to Grandma's house or Aunt Jenny's for ham and scalloped potatoes, mac and cheese, all the good trimmings of an Easter dinner. Or maybe if you're lucky, it's off to Uncle Frank's for a good barbecue if the weather is permitting. Easter for the traditional, some of the time American Christian, what a splendid day, is it not? We make it a splendid day, a little church, a little eating, a little feasting, some toys for everybody, and maybe, just maybe, if we're lucky, we get home in time to get a quick nap, or Dad can go out and get 9 in on the golf course. True? Could be. What about Easter for the traditional non-going church American family? Well, I have no doubt everything is just about the same, minus the whole grand appearance of church. Instead of money spent on church clothes, you know, and all the accessories, because we got to accessorize now, don't we? Cooler toys for the kids and Dad find their way into Easter baskets. And maybe Mom takes her money, instead of buying a dress, treats herself to a spa day with some of her friends. Possibility. Or maybe Easter signifies the opening season of mowing grass. Ah, yes. Smelling that old gas start sputtering through the engine. The grease as you take the old blades off, get them all sharpened up, ready to go. The sound of the air compressor blowing up your tires. Yes. Opening season. America's man's man. Mow the grass, grill some steaks later on, have a few cold beers, and admire my lawn until the game comes on. That's what we Americans do. Or how many have to work on an Easter Sunday because my place of employment does not recognize this holiday of Easter? Plus, it's on a Sunday. And really, what has Sunday become in the world you and I live in? So many times the answer simply is just another day, right? If you are able to detect a little sarcasm in this beginning of the message, you are correct, my friend. But also, if you nod in agreement with the truth, you are also correct, my friend. What has Easter become in our country, in our homes, even in our churches? Can we find any historical or biblical record of Jesus or his disciples keeping Easter or teaching parents and children to dye their eggs, to color their eggs, and display bunnies on this holiday? Is there any record, any history? I don't think so. Now, the title of today's message is very simple. Do you believe? Well, believe in what, Brother Jim? Do you, church, and as individuals sitting here today, do you actually believe without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ died on that cross and was raised from the dead 3 days later? Do you believe? Yeah. Now, if you turn to Matthew 28, 5-7, that's up there for you. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here." Woo! Hear that? He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lays. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead, as going ahead of you into Galilee. There, ooh, here we go. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Well, here's the thing, Brother Jim. You and I were not there. So what's that really mean? We were not there. Well, yeah, you're right. We're not there. So that means we're going to go off what the Bible states. Is that enough confirmation? Enough proof that are you willing to say yes to? Yes. Do you believe in the Bible? Do you believe in God's word? Yes. Come on now. Do you believe? Because there's no middle ground on this. And that is the problem in today's world. We want to make sure we don't offend this group. We want to, you know, we got to play nice with this. No. I'm sorry. I want to play nice with anyone. But when it comes to God's word, there is no half button it around. There's not. Do you believe on this Easter Sunday morning that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? I mean, I'm being real on this. There's no magic tricks involved. There's no little camera action. Now, I will say this, that I have heard with my very own ears that there are certain religious organizations that are proclaiming, and they're right out the door there, proclaiming that the resurrection is just a story to help endorse Jesus and God. Now, number one, I don't believe Jesus and God needs any of mankind's endorsements. They're not Nike. Just do it. Well, no. No. My God is a mightier God than Nike. My God is a mightier God than Elon Musk or whatever his name is. You know what I mean? He's mightier. He's greater. Now, endorse is my word. I got to be honest. I'm just using that today. Reason being, I cannot really remember what word they used, because at that moment when they said these people said a story, there was so much rage in me, as long as comedy too. And what I was hearing from these educated people in the church, I didn't know what to do. My emotions was all over the place. I was seeing red, but I was busting the gut too. And I'm going to be honest, I'm like, you guys are idiots. I know Jim shouldn't say that, but that's my first intention. How can you say the birth of Jesus Christ is a story? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a story? That all this stuff is just stories? Really? Come on. In John 11, 25 to 26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Now, we're talking about death here. At this point here, Jesus was talking with Martha, who was the sister of Lazarus. Now, Jesus and Lazarus, they were buddies. I want you to think about that. You lose one of your best friends. It hurts, doesn't it? It hurts. You want nothing more than have your best friend back. Well, this is the cool thing about Jesus. What did Jesus do? He went and brought him back. He called him out. Now, can you imagine calling out? Hey, Fred, come on out, buddy. Can you imagine the shock, the amazement of everybody standing around? But that's what my Jesus can do. That's what your Jesus can do. Is that something you believe in, my friends? Is that something you can believe in, especially this day and age? We as a society worry so much about our children believing in so many comforting, warm, and childish things. From Santa, Saint Nick, the fat guy in a red suit, the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream, you know? Think about it, and that's all good. Most parents want their children to stay children, to believe and keep their innocence. And trust me, so do I. I want Ellie to stay a little girl as long as she can. I want Dawson to be a little boy. Something worries me about Dawson. Now at 12, he'll be driving around trying to pick up ladies and their girls. And, hey, baby, you want to get in the truck? That worries me. No. But we do. We want to protect them. I get it. But here's the difference for me. Here's the difference for Carrie. All that stuff is made up. Fairy tales and fairy dust. All that. Jesus Christ and his resurrection is not and never will be rainbows and unicorns. This is the real deal. For we are talking life and we are talking death. Time to flip. life and death. If you want to turn to John 5:24, out of the New King James Version. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. And here's the thing. If these so-called intelligent people of the church, as well as the world, are stating that this resurrection is just one big old fairy tale, then what do you and I, what do we as Christians, what do we really have to stand on? Let's just say, yeah, they're right. What do we have to stand on? All this is just a bunch of fairy tales. What is the point of the church? What is the point of the Bible? What is the point of any of this if Jesus Christ and his resurrection is just another cheap story according to the world and the scholars, made up for you and I to believe in, to keep us happy? The Hallmark before the Hallmark Channel. What is the point of any of this if it is all one big fairy tale of a story? Riddle me that, my friends. Now, if you want to jump over to John 14, 1-7, out of the English Standard Version. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. And here we go. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Again, I ask you, church, do you believe? Do you believe in life? Do you believe in death? Do you believe in life after death? Well, let me ask you this then. Do you believe in heaven? And do you believe in hell? Most importantly, do you understand that those, heaven and hell, are your only two choices? You're not coming back as a butterfly, not coming back as Fred the dinosaur, not coming back as the Queen of England. I hate to bust your bubble. You get one shot at this world. And you really think about it, that one shot, like that. Two choices. And most importantly, you are the one who decides your eternity. And that is one of the greatest things about it. You think about back in the day, the kings, back in medieval time, they ruled. They ruled with a hard fist. They decided everything for you. Even communism decides everything for you. Socialism, all this nonsense. But with our Jesus, with our God, isn't that amazing? It's your choice. Your choice. Now, to me, that's a loving God. That's a loving parent. Your choice. You are the one who decides your eternity. Do you understand that? The devil had rather send you from hell to hell from the pew rather than the gutter. Think about that. Oh, he delights in seeing you, the pew sitter, go to hell over the guy from the gutter. The gutter, we knew he was going all along, but what about that guy or that girl that comes in for 50, 60 years, sits in the same pew, sings the same old songs with the same old passion? He's as dead is, but hey, I go to church. I go to church, brother. Many people trudge to church on Sundays who have never been born again. Nobody expected Judas, did they? Judas was part of the group. He was one of the boys. Judas, yeah. Judas, are you saved? I'm a church member, Brother Jim. I did not ask you that, Judas. Are you saved? I'm a member of the best church, the one that Jesus founded, Brother Jim. Did not ask you that, Judas. Are you saved? I'm a charter member, Brother Jim. Did not ask that, Judas. Brother Jim, I'm the treasurer. My friends, you can go to hell surrounded by receipts for church offerings, as many certificates as you want, along with all the Sunday school pins that'll go on your little pretty vest. True? Woo! You can load them up. So many people have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And that is the reason the Bible says, if you go to 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. But I love that. Who wants to examine themselves? I hate looking on the scale. We're not right now. I'm dropping some weight, so that's keeping me excited. But how many of us really, unless you're one of them skinny people, I don't want to talk to you anyway, but you know, you don't, oh, Lord. Or you say a little prayer before the scales. Lord, please be kind. Or you catch yourself in the mirror. Ho, ho, I don't want to examine any of that. We don't like to. Do not think for one reason, just because you are religious or a good person, you're going to heaven. Oh, I hate to bust your bubble. Think about this for a moment. I love this. Think about this. It was a religious crowd who condemned Christ. Religious crowd. It wasn't the atheist. No, it wasn't the Satanist. It was supposed to be your own. They condemned him to die on that cross. You know, the most sinful place in the history of the world was there on that cross. Jesus became the most sinful man that ever lived. And I took this from Billy Graham. You know why? The scripture says Jesus became sin for you and I. And here is the worst thing about it all of this. Jesus never knew sin. Now, can you imagine that? Jesus never knew sin, but he said, hey, Jim Manbeck, I'm taking yours. Hey, Jim Manbeck, you remember time you did this? I mean, good Lord, we'd be up here for days. He did it for the past, the present, and the future. He did it for Sue. He did it for Kylie. He did it for Jim. Did it for Barb. He did it for all of us. Became sin for you and I. And all of a sudden, Jesus not only carried the sins of the people at those times, but he picked them all up for all mankind. Every person, now think about this, every person that will ever live, Jesus had their sins on him. Jesus became guilty of every sin. Your sin, my sin. Let that sink in for a minute. But yet this world, both the past, present, and the future, has the arrogance, and I try to say that with as much bitterness in my mouth, we have the arrogance, the audacity to mock, to ridicule, and even call for the death of God's only Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you believe that, my friends? We as mankind, now would any of you? No, I'm sure none of you would do that. But how many times do we deny him every day? If he was here Thursday night, we would have talked about it. You would have heard that. How many times we deny Christ each and every day? As you sit here this morning, would you be willing to testify under oath, even at the risk of your own death? Do you believe that Jesus died, becoming accountable for every sin you have committed and will continue to make throughout your life? Would you be willing to sit on that stand and say, yes, I believe? As Jesus suffered on that cross, Jesus was suffering spiritually as well. Think about that. You think about the connection him and his father had. Now, I'd like to think we all have a pretty good connection, right? But think about the connection, the relationship he had with his father. So think of the mess that he was in. What's going on through here and what's going on in here? When Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you look, if you will look at that cross behind me for a moment, how many times does your mind see a suffering Jesus nailed, beaten, tortured on that cross? Let me ask you this. When you look at that cross, how much love do you see? Fair question, is it not? How much love do you see on that cross? Do you believe, my friends? Will you believe in the love that that cross represents? Will you believe that Jesus Christ died for you and you will accept, will you accept his mercy, his grace, and the salvation, the freedom from sin that only Jesus Christ can offer? Do you believe in that? Are you willing to die for that even? Or will you bow down to the world, to a society that neither cares about the cross nor cares about you? Think about this as we close. If the world has to choose who is to be crucified, the world will always save Barabbas. Think about that. If the world's got to choose every time, they're going with you. They're going with Barabbas. You, my friends, have a choice. A choice to choose the world, to not choose the world. Or you can choose the one who truly loves you, the one who died for you. His name is Jesus. Do you believe in him?